Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I was once a consultant for a well-known pastor. Well, unfortunately, now he's in glory. He built a great church, an amazing university, a home for unwed mothers, and championed nationally biblical principles in the news media. The atheists hated him. The media often ridiculed him, but the silent majority of Americans loved him. On my first meeting, the pastor's right-hand man told me that he operated under the law of the seventh mentioning, meaning he had to hear something seven times before he'd make a decision. So during one of our meetings, I had an idea that I was proposing to him, and I said, "Do you have a sense of humor?" He said, "I do." And I repeated the idea seven times in a row. And he said, "They told you I'd like to hear things seven times." I said, "Yes, sir. I hope that was not offensive to you. I did that." He said, "No, but I'll think about it, and you won't have to mention it again." Anyhow, you know, sometimes we need to hear something more than seven times to get it down in our spirit, especially when it comes to changing the direction of our lives. Here are seven principles worth hearing more than once. Number one, have the right attitude about whatever you're facing. The measure of any person, Christian or heathen, is determined by how they respond to adversity. A negative attitude and or response will always result in failure. A positive attitude or response, response situations will ultimately lead to success. Failure is almost always a result of our attitude and response to unfavorable circumstances. The word circumstances is literally defined as the circle you're standing in. If you're standing still, then you won't have to deal with the circumstances. But if you're moving from glory unto glory, then you need to leave the circumstances behind. The right kind of attitude will turn trouble into a turnaround for success. Our attitude is what takes us through the challenges of everyday living. What kind of attitude should we have? His. That's right. His attitude. It's just that simple. Here are three powerful scriptures to illustrate our point.
First, Philippians 2, verse 5 in the New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. The contemporary English version of Philippians 2, verse 5 puts it this way, and think the same way that Christ thought. Second, and this might be the most important, Romans 12, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. The last part says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And finally, Ephesians 4, verse 23 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude.
Now, you may think, Brother Harold, we've heard these scriptures time and time again. Well, there's a reason we keep repeating them. Just ask yourself this. It's early in this day at the time of this recording. But if you had a positive attitude about everything this morning, did you have a positive attitude yesterday, Saturday, the weekend? Well, you need a positive attitude today for what lies in front of you. See, we have to be careful how we act and react, because our attitude is showing. Number two, if you're just fired up, you might flame out. I once heard someone say that a positive attitude and enthusiasm is all you need to succeed. Well, while it's critically important to be enthusiastic with a great attitude, there's more to this story. Dr. James Dobson said, enthusiasm is no substitute for preparation. So I've seen people who are fired up, but they have no clue what to do next. Functionally, there are three kinds of people. First, those who know their purpose and are actively pursuing it. Second, those who don't know their purpose but would like to know. And third, those who don't know their purpose or even if they have one. Proverbs 19:2 in the Contemporary English Version says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. I've heard it said, and I've said it, that knowledge is power. That sounds nice. But it becomes a cliche because it's not the whole truth. It's not just the knowledge we have that makes a difference, but it's what we do with that knowledge. It's not what we know. It's what we do with what we know that makes us somebody, that meaning God's body. Knowledge requires preparation. The World English Dictionary defines preparation as the act or process of preparing and the state of being prepared in readiness. Understand that preparation is a mental decision before it ever becomes a practical reality.
Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
The word number is the Hebrew word H4487, and according to Strong's Concordance, it means to count, reckon, assign, tell, appoint, prepare. It's significant that the definition of number includes the words assign, appoint, and prepare. We're to prepare our days with the knowledge and preparation. With that, we can expect manifestation.
Joshua 3, verse 5 in the New Living Translation should become our expectation for each new day. It says, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you.
Third, number three, dress to impress. Your clothes, but also your mind. Have you ever heard the expression, clothes make the man? Sounds to me like an English tailor probably coined the phrase. But I know the phrase has an English origin, but I can't prove it's from a tailor. According to most of the sources I Google, the phrase means what you wear determines who you are, who you think you are, or who others think you are. The assumption is that when you see a person who's well-dressed, it is a reflection of their professionalism and character. That may have been true in the day, but not in this day. I can assure you that a woman with a Versace dress, Louis Vuitton purse, Jimmy Choo shoes, and a crust-off hairstyle is not necessarily a person of character. Truthfully, they're more apt to be a character than having one. The same is true of a man wearing a Armani suit, Eton shirt, a Sataya tie, or Tostoni shoes. You can be dressed to the nines, but if what you say when you open your mouth doesn't impress, it won't matter how you're dressed. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in dressing for success. But what I wear doesn't necessarily determine who I am. There are times when you wear what you wear will get you in the door. But it will take who you are to keep you there.
1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 in the New Living Translation. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. You know, God is more concerned about what he sees inside of us than what he sees on the outside of us. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 in the Classic Amplified Bible shows us that. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.
When we rise in the morning, dressing our mind is just as important as dressing our body. You don't want either one to be naked, if you will, or you draw unwanted attention to yourself. Plan ahead what you're going to listen to on your commute to work. Make sure it's something that's edifying, encouraging, uplifting. I like you know, certain music, jazz particularly, some and Christian music, all kinds. But music is not going to advance me where I want to be. Think about it. Dress your mind. Number four, stop looking in the rearview mirror. If I've had a recurring theme over the years, it's simply this. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. Regretting what happened or didn't happen in the past is a waste of your mental energy. You need to let go of what's been holding you back.
Luke 9, verse 62 in the New Century Version. Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God.
If you're waiting to bring in a new harvest, if you're wanting to reap the benefit of what you've sown, then stop looking back. If someone has hurt you in the past, leave it there. Don't harbor any resentment. Don't add any painful memories to your mental playlist. God will not bring up your past, but the enemy will. But the enemy can only get away with it if we let him. That's why we have to forget the past and move forward.
Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15 in the New King James Version. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So really, it's time to get rid of the things that are old, borrowed, and blue, as they say, so God can move you out of your comfort zone into something new. Love Isaiah 43, verse 19, this in the New Living Translation. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah is right. Here it is. God can't do something new as long as you're holding on to the past, staying where you've been, replaying, rehearsing hurts or anything else. Your future's in front of you and not behind you. So it's very important that you stop looking in that rearview mirror. Hallelujah. We'll pick this up right here on tomorrow's call. Go make sure you go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And while you're there, if you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.